evening and welcome to this Friday's edition of Stockwatch. I'm Zinati Guma. And joining me to wrap this week up are Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers and Nick Krill from FNB Wealth and Investments. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me. Let's start off with macro. And the big one this week was the European Central Bank finally joining the monetary tightening brigade and saying that they will be increasing interest rates for the first time next month. That decision of the 25 basis point hike was largely expected by the markets. But why have European markets been, what have they been mad about? Nick, starting with you.
I think they're just mad about just the trajectory, right? So economic growth is not exactly raging ahead. You've got the issues around what's happening in Russia and Ukraine at the moment, how long that's going to persist for, how long these sort of input costs as high as they are, how long they're going to remain, what's the trajectory, a lot of unknowns in a, I think, a relatively tough political kind of environment as well. So there's just a lot of uncertainty. You know, we've seen with the US markets as an example over the last 5 years, from a developed market perspective, they were the market where all the returns came from. Returns were relatively muted in Europe and in the UK. But the fall off hasn't necessarily been only in the US, you know. So you didn't really get the upside. Now you're getting the downside. The war is on your sort of back door. So it's an uncertain and unhappy type of environment at the moment. And yeah, it's probably going to remain so until we get a bit more clarity. We seem a long way away from clarity at the moment.
Yeah. Rowan, I mean, the ECB has said that there will be another hike in September. Of course, there are questions as to the size of that increase. What will it take for the ECB to supersize the hike in September?
Sure, yeah. I think the current environment and the trajectory of inflation has a lot to do with that. So it looks like what you're seeing is central banks leaving themselves some room, policy maneuvering room, essentially, to be able to be in a position to manage inflation. So, and to some extent, it depends on the outlook driven by this conflict and the impact that's having on energy prices and other food input prices. And if it drags on, as which it looks like it may for quite some time, and we have very tight supply, and the high prices are persistent, they are going to have to act more rigorously to try rein in inflation. So it is quite a tricky environment for all participants at this point in time.
All right. So now all companies really having to deal with the backdrop of a shaky economy. So a lot of them are not really going to come out with the earnings that we've become used to when money was cheap and interest rates were low. Nick, I mean, what are the underlying things that you are looking for when looking for valuable companies at this point?
Well, I think the first thing one needs to have a look at is companies that have balance sheet flexibility and strength. You know, we are entering a point of sort of uncertainty. I think has been alluded to already, inflation is here, at least in developed markets, it's here. It's probably going to remain here for some time. And the big threat, you know, from a central bank perspective is to try and slow down inflation. And a lot of that inflation is supply side, so a central bank can do very little to do with that. But certainly we have seen with the levels of stimulus, you know, from COVID, et cetera, that the consumer has run, you know, relatively hot. Demand has been pretty sticky, so on and so forth. So from a central bank perspective, I think, you know, they have a hammer, which is an unfortunate tool to, let's say, screw in a light bulb as an example, but ultimately they're going to use it. And so what they need to and are looking for is whether or not wage inflation really comes through or whether it doesn't. Obviously, if wage inflation comes through, you're going to expect that the consumer remains in a relatively healthy position. Demand for goods continues. And unfortunately, it sort of perpetuates the inflation cycle. So, you know, what we've got to look at the moment is whether wage inflation from a company perspective kind of comes through or whether it doesn't. Second to that is just the ability for companies to navigate these uncertain times and so accept a little bit of lower margin in the shorter period of time Ultimately, we would expect these cost inputs to decrease over time and margins to expand from there. So you just want to make sure they're in a strong enough financial position in a market that's not going to implode.
Rowan, I mean, we've had a dimmer picture on the outlook being painted by companies such as Target, Credit Suisse, Tesla, Microsoft, and also JP Morgan. So what are your expectations of company earnings for the rest of this year?
Yeah, so I think that is a key question because we have been in a period of elevated or very high profitability, excuse me, and we're seeing significant just disruptions to that. In the case of Target, for example, they have an overstock position now, so they're having to clear that stock, which is clearly going to have a significant impact on margins. And I think what is happening is management have been in various environments, have been in a much easier operating environment to now. So it's really going to test the capability of management teams in a more of a stagflationary environment to be able to manage that. And so I think that is a key aspect, is how the skill of management and the experience, and to balance exactly what Nick was saying in terms of margins for the shorter and the longer term, and these supply chain disruptions. So it is going to be a challenging time. I think you are going to see quite a significant impact to earnings. And you have to look at those companies that have defensive positions, maybe better skilled at managing costs of supply chain, have some pricing power. But certainly, I think earnings expectations are going to quite rapidly be decreased in this current environment.
All right, talking about companies that are exposed to the challenging times, let's go on to a question about asset managers, actually. So there's quite a lot of debate on asset managers right now. A lot of them are down quite a lot this year after reporting record earnings. What's the panel's view? So because they're under pressure, I mean, Nick, would you say this is the time to go into asset managers, or are you cautious because of the cyclicality of them?
So I think they're a lot more attractively priced than they were, let's say, 6 months ago. And so certainly if I didn't have any in the portfolio, I would definitely be dipping my toe in at this sort of time. You know, would I be able to forecast and say, you know, this is the bottom, go in with everything you've got? No, I'm certainly not as confident as that. So it certainly might get cheaper. Having said that, the ability to predict the bottom is never going to really happen. And from a valuation perspective, on a longer term basis, just with the cash flows I think they generate, I think they're certainly looking pretty attractive at these levels.
And which ones are in your portfolio, Nick? Nick, which ones are in your portfolio?
Well, so I would be looking from a South African context. I'd be looking at, both Coronation as well as 91.
Okay.
They both have different drivers and I think different levels of exposure. But on a longer term basis, both are cheap at the moment. Both have had challenges and the share prices are reflecting those challenges. And yeah. I think on a longer term basis, they're both worthwhile looking at.
All right. Rowan, what about Signia? I mean, it's one that doesn't really get as much coverage as Coronation, 91 and Quilter. This week, they came out with record profit, paying out a record dividend as well, having the advantage of, you know, that retail asset growth. So how are you looking at asset manager and specifically Signia?
Yeah, so I think one of the key aspects that you need to look at in terms of cyclicality of earnings is to what extent do those earnings contain performance fees. So the base management fee, I think if assets and markets go down 10%, yes, I think the revenue could go down 10%, but they've got a lot of them quite a variable cost model. So it won't impact the margin so badly. And at these prices, they certainly are pricing in, I think, quite a depressed earnings outlook. So Signa, you would need to look at. They did have some success with that fourth industrial revolution product, which obviously we've seen a significant decline in certain of those asset values. So you would need to look at the makeup quite closely of the earnings, those record earnings. But as you say, it is quite a defensive base. I think the retail base can be quite defensive, maybe a bit less fickle. And it does depend also if investors are redeeming, if they're moving into other products. So they keep the income on in other products like money market products. So you need to look at that quite closely. But I think in terms of taking the current PE and saying they're cheap on that basis, you have to look much more closely because I think the earnings, at least in the near term, say the next year, are going to decline across the board for asset managers.
Very, very interesting. There's another question going into telecommunications. What is happening with Telkom with the sustained drop over the past weeks? Cell signal. I think we actually talk about MTN and Vodacom quite a lot, so it's quite nice to be able to go into Telkom. Nick, your take on Telkom's drop in the share price recently?
Well, if we look recently, to be honest, it's nothing to do with Telkom. If we have a look at telco demand in general, whether you're in MTN, Vodacom, Telkom in the South African space, you've all taken a bit of a hiding. And I think it's really just having a look at where there's other opportunities. Certainly, we know that telcos were net beneficiaries during COVID in terms of demand for data and the rest. And I suppose the outlook from a consumer perspective is a little bit concerning. You then add to that the complexity that's gone into a Vodacom sort of expansion strategy. We have a look at the reliance on African markets and the regulatory environment there. Perhaps there's just some opportunity of guys taking money off the table at the moment and looking at other sectors that have been perhaps beaten down a little bit further more recently.
Rowan, what's your take on Telkom? As I mentioned, we talk a lot about MTN. So MTN, there's that opportunity when it comes to the financial services side, also Vodacom and also their expansionary strategy. What's your take on Telkom? I mean, how much more upside does the company have within the telecommunication space?
So they were seeing quite a lot of their incremental growth, marginal growth coming from the retail side, more the consumer side. As Nick mentioned, in the pandemic, also significant demand in the mobile area for mobile data. And I think what you already saw in their last set of results, that growth had started to moderate. And as we move into a more tougher consumer environment, I think you are going to see a continued moderation there. And so that's is a key driver of the investment case for Telkom. And if that moderates, we know the fixed line business is in terminal decline, and the BCX business is not terribly exciting. It's been quite a tough operating environment. So as this growth area slows, I think you could see, and as we have seen, the share price come off quite sharply. So I think that's what's also putting the share under pressure.
All right, let's get into retail. There's a question here. What would be the best and cheapest entry point into the food retailer stocks, Rowan?
So they are quite defensive stocks, and interestingly enough, in an inflationary environment, what you can see is their margins actually improve somewhat, just because food prices and the products they sell go up more than their actual input costs. So it just depends. I mean, the cheapest entry, I think, if you're saying which of the stocks is screening the cheapest, is actually SPAR right now. They have had some challenges. I mean, the business that they acquired in Poland is taking much longer to turn around. We're also seeing their convenience model under a fair amount of pressure from the likes of Checkers 60/60 and Dash, Woody's Dash, and maybe losing some of their sort of market space that they had previously. They also are susceptible to some increasing costs in the form of distribution costs, fuel, and the like. So, but it certainly looks like a lot of that bad news is priced in. And if they can get a handle on Poland, that's probably your cheapest entry. It's Shoprite's on the other end. That's still got a very high premium rating. It is the best executor in the space. So SPAR may be interesting at these levels.
Nick, on your side, I mean, does that cut to the SPAR dividend to grow its Polish business and to also invest in the software upgrades concern you? Or would you say, like the analysts at SBG Securities, that the dividend cut is the lesser of all evils?
Yeah, so on my side, and we talked a little bit earlier around balance sheet strength and the rest, and certainly with their acquisition path and what they've sort of done over the last 5 years, their balance sheet is not particularly strong. Now you're going through a SAP implementation, and again, it requires further capital. So I would say it was certainly expected. In my mind, personally, I would have preferred them to actually almost cut that to zero. And again, just in a what-if type of scenario, I would prefer extra balance sheet sort of strength and provision on that side than sort of what they've done. Having said that, I think they're, you know, in a normalized, even in this environment, you know, the cut that you've seen is going to, you know, be enough for them to sort of navigate through this sort of SAP implementation and the rest. Other than that, I mean, I kind of agree with Rowan in terms of the outlook on those different sort of stocks. I suppose my issue with SPAR would be it is cheap at the moment, but I can't really see a clear catalyst that is going to re-rate that stock in the sort of short to medium term. You know, investors want to have a look and make sure that that SAP implementation has been done on time, on budget, and that's going to take a couple of years. And the Polish turnaround is also anticipated to take a couple of years. So one can be sort of waiting, even though a lot of that bad news is, let's say, in the share price at the moment.
So would you say this is more for a long-term patient investor, Nick?
Certainly. I think from a SPA perspective, that's exactly right. You want to be looking more of a long-term kind of return. Shorter term, it could take a while for you to get those sort of returns.
Yeah. All right. Still sticking to the retail space, there's another question here. Would the panel be going into Mr. Price at these levels? We did see results coming out for them yesterday, recording also a record operating profit, continued market share gains. It seems that really in an environment where consumers are constrained, Mr. Price really stands in a good position to kind of catch those consumers that are trading down from the higher price points. Rowan?
Yeah, so they have recently executed really well. What we're seeing with the clothing retailers, the fashion retailers, a little bit of a sort of accelerated cycle because obviously they had a downturn with COVID and all the lockdowns, and they've seen a strong recovery. Now we're moving into quite a challenging trading environment just given the amount of pressure the consumers are under with the cost increases. But I would say I'd agree that Mr. Price is quite defensive and should retain or grow market share in this environment as some consumers trade down. The acquisitions they've made have been value accretive, have added to their growth trajectory and profile. They are have indicated they're going to consolidate, so not look to add to those acquisitions as they bed them down and look to grow them. And so I think that is quite a positive. So the numbers were very good. I think management have got back into their stride of delivery. There were some hiccups in the past, but I think they have sorted those out. And timing could be a little bit tricky, but it certainly, I think, will deliver returns going forward. You may have a little bit of short-term share price volatility in these tricky markets, but it does look quite interesting.
Nick, do you think, you know, at this point, at these levels, these would be good levels to enter into Mr. Price or not, or would there be better and cheaper options?
I like Mr. Price at these levels. I do. I think, you know, how they've executed, so we can give them credence there. The results have been excellent. Yes, it's a tough operating sort of environment. Balance sheet, even post sort of acquisitions, remains very strong, very robust, highly cash generative type of business. And they have a self-help sort of story. So even if the pie of, let's say, discretionary sort of sales kind of stays the same or even goes down slightly, you could still see them continue to take market share and grow with the strategy that they've got in place over the next couple of years. So I like Mr. Price, and I think it offers a tremendous amount of, let's say, medium-term value at these sort of levels. So I'd certainly be entering.
Rowan, I know that a lot of counters are really trying to get into that low-income, price-sensitive consumer group. I mean, there's a lot of competition in that space. So just looking at that, I mean, what would be the best option for you? And I'm not even just limiting you to the clothing retailer space. So would there be another option where you think that there's a lot of upside when it comes to capturing that low-income group?
Yeah, so that has been an area sort of interest and growth. Partly, I think it has been sort of supported by the social grants and the extended social grants. We have seen actually a hiccup in the payment of the extended social grants, but that is expected to be caught up. Both Fashini's and Mr. Price commented in their most recent results. Fashini's actually, given the acquisition that they made of Jet, have help them position in that space, and that's an area that they're growing very strongly, and they continue to turn that business around. They just reported today, and I listened to the results presentation, and they're doing a lot also in financial services as well, with Tyme Bank in their stores to capture some of that sort of potential upside of the lower end consumer. So they actually look quite interesting. It's not like a core part of their business, but I think it's an area of growth for them. So that does, and again, the valuation looks quite reasonable. It's come a decent dividend. So there may again be a little bit of short-term volatility just given the consumer outlook, but but that looks an interesting way to play this space or this opportunity.
Would Pick n Pay provide a good opportunity to also play into the space as they're also trying to increase their presence there, Nick?
Well, they've done very nicely, I think, through Boxer. The issue that you've got with Pick n Pay is really around that sort of their larger format sort of stores. And then really, I suppose, you've seen ShopRite coming in and competing not only on price, but then on convenience in terms of 60-60, playing up, opening up new sort of stores. And the issue with Pick n Pay across the actual Pick n Pay brand has been they've almost wanted to be, the shop for everyone. And in that environment, it's kind of caught them out to a certain extent, and I think they've got some catch-up. From myself, I would say that they're a little bit lower quality in the sense that at the moment, I don't think their brand and positioning is ideal. So there's an opportunity, but I would prefer to sort of enter when I've got a little bit more insight as to whether or not the consumers actually started to identify the changes they want to make within those sort of brands and that sort of positioning.
Mm. All right, Rowan, another question. African Rainbow Minerals, good investment for the long term? That's a question mark. And is that divvy payment sustainable?
Yeah, so it's a good point in the cycle for resource companies. They do a lot of iron ore, manganese, which have had quite firm pricing. It does look like they are going to pay a fairly substantial dividend with their next set of results, but it will be cyclical, that dividend. So it's not entirely going to be, it's sustainable. I think it depends on the trajectory of resource prices. But I think we are in a period of where you could see elevated resource price. This is just given the conversion to more green economies, and that actually, funny enough, is quite resource intensive. And so that is positive for medium-term demand. It is looking quite reasonable in the sum of the parts basis at the moment, and the prospect of a 20 Rand dividend is also quite attractive. So, and if you're bullish on metals prices, which we think we are, again, it's getting levels and it's under a bit of pressure even today that are getting quite interesting to look to enter into the stock.
All right, gentlemen, we're going into the last part of the show today, and that is your stock picks. Nick, what will yours be for today?
I'm picking Mondi. I think it's a fantastically run business. I think the areas and the segments that they sort of operate in them, I think, have a long-term solid outlook and trajectory. And yet they do have assets in Russia. There's a lot of uncertainty as to how that's going to play out, what sort of value should be attained. Stock price has come under significant amount of pressure, but I think probably fully almost discounting those assets down to zero, longer-term outlook still remains very strong. So that's the stock pick I'm going for at the moment.
All right. And Rowan, on your side, your stock pick?
Also Rand Hedge stock, Reinert. So I think you do need to look for defensive stocks in this environment. The Rand may weaken just given the risk-off environment that we're in. And it's trading at a significant discount to its net asset value, around 45% right now. It actually has come off recently. British American Tobacco looks like it's making good progress. The other key asset, Penns Corp, also making good progress, and you're getting quality assets. And then the private equity assets also, I think, are being very well managed at this point in the cycle. So, and you're getting all of that at a hefty discount. So very defensive, I think, with reasonable medium-term value unlock potential.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen, to the both of you for your analysis today. That's it for Stockwatch this week. Thanks to my guests, Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers and Nick Crail from FNB Wealth and Investments. From me, Zanati Guma, and the rest of the team, have a great weekend.